Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Discovering the Goodness of God. Listen, last week it was draw close to Jesus, right? So by drawing closer, you will discover how good he is. How many of you can honestly say he's been good to you? Well, guess what? He just scratched the surface with you on how good he is. He's an awesome God, a mighty God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 107, and we're going to read verses 8 through 15, and then we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen? And here it goes. It's on the screen if you didn't bring your Bibles. Verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, bound in afflictions and irons, verse 11 now, because they rebelled against the words of God and despise the counsel of the Most High, kind of like our culture today. Therefore, he brought down their heart and labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Look at this now. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Praise God. That's the merciful God we serve. Amen? And look at this in verse 14 and 15. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So my question is this. What is a blessing? What is a blessing? A lot of us will sneeze and say, God bless you. And we take that word, that little word blessing, for granted. The word bless has much more meaning over time. And like I said, we can say God bless you when someone sneezes. I think that's, when's the last time you said God bless you? I guess when someone sneezed, huh? Or we'll use it in similar terminology when we feel unable or unwilling to be more specific in prayer, like bless Aunt Sue, bless Uncle John. You know, we're good at that. Well, bless here, bless there. However, saints of God, this word represents an important biblical concept. When you ask God to bless someone, what you're saying is this, right up here, look at this. Lord, you know better than I what he or she lacks. Please provide for him or even for her. Praise God. Amen. And so you're asking, when you say bless so-and-so, you're asking God to intervene in someone's life to meet a need. It's all about a need. And this is why we're discovering more as we go deeper in the Word, how precious God is to us. And we have the power of the tongue. We have the power to speak blessings to one another. Amen? But guess what? We also have the tongue to curse. And this is where the Holy Spirit has to bridle our tongue. But I'm going to ask this question, and I'm going to put it right up here. Look at this. Our most important blessing is salvation. Can I get amen? It's salvation. And my friends, most Christians take for granted that salvation is primarily about going to heaven after death. We think, oh, yeah. When I die, I'll just be in heaven. We're going to discover this morning there's more to it than just, oh, I'm saved. You see, but being redeemed by the blood of Jesus has many other benefits while we're still here on this earth. Can I get amen? And here are a few other reasons why God saved you and I. Let's go back here. Look at this. To keep sin from destroying our lives. Just because we get saved, we're not immune to sin. Can I get amen? He saved us from destruction. He saved us from eternal damnation. But God, as we live on this earth, keeps us away from destroying ourselves. Can I get amen? And how many of you have known many that have slipped away? Well, you need to remember them and pray blessings for them. Can I get God? I bless this soul that has gone wayward. Bring them back to the fold. Leave the 99 and go get the one. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, there's so many other benefits, saints of God. The Lord gives us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we don't have to be devastated by the power and consequences of sin. Because there's consequences of sin. I hope you know that. It's in the word. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to what? Reap destruction. God's word is plain. Let's look at this right up here. To be conformed to the likeness of his son. This is what God is doing in our life. He's sanctifying us. God is shaping and molding us on this earth. Why? Because there's a greater purpose. Did you know that we're still going to be on this earth when we go home with him, the bride, and the tribulation takes place in 7 years, then we're coming back with him to rule and reign for 1,000 years in the millennial reign. And guess what? Right now, we're in the school of hard knocks. Look at it like this. We're in school right now. And we're learning these things. The only difference will be when we come back with him, we won't be in these bodies of flesh no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed? Hallelujah. The struggle will be over. And we will have a body that will live forever with him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so, this is why as we go deeper, as we look at the goodness of God, as we look and discover his goodness, here's another thing that he wants to do for you and I. Let's look at this right here. To make us trophies of his grace. Huh? Oh, what do I mean by that? Every one of us has a testimony where he has brought us out of. Remember last week we said he found us in a what? In a dumpster can? Are you selling taquitos back there? Listen, God is going to show us up in heaven. Every one of us, he's going to look. I pulled them from that. And they are now this. Can I get an amen? Oh, yeah. He's going to boast about us. Hallelujah. I can't wait. He's going to boast. He's going to say, this is my son. This is my daughter, whom I'm well pleased. Thank you, God. Listen, we have to get a hold of this thing. Yeah, we're going through right now, and we're going to go through things still, and we see what the enemy is doing. God showed us that, but I'm here to let you know that God is greater than the enemy. God is greater than the darkness. Can I get amen? God is going to lift this up. Hallelujah. And he's going to set us up on high, and the world's going to see a light shining so bright, and it's going to come from our innermost being. Come on, you got to believe God. There's eternal ramifications of what he wants to do. Brother and sister J&J, you came here and God's gonna show you up. Can I get an amen? I don't care what you're going through, but when God is done with you, God is gonna say, look what I did for them. Oh, come on. Because we can't take any boasting about it. All we can say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's right. Look what the Word of God says about this. Look at this. It's found in Ephesians. Even when we were dead in trespasses, this is our BC years, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Amen. Aren't you so blessed that it wasn't about do's and don'ts? What if you had to take a 500 test? And if you miss one, you failed it all. I'm sorry. It's by his grace we have been saved. And look what he did. And he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places. You are sitting in heavenly places. Can I get amen? Listen, the household of God is a heavenly place. Heaven has come down to us. Can I get an amen? To bask in his glory. You gotta believe God that he has come to earth. We didn't go up to him. He's come down to us. And now we're seated. Just imagine, just years ago, man, you guys couldn't wait for the football season to come around and bust out the kegs. Had no mind for God. Or partying all night on Saturday and woke up at noon. And say, is there any menudo for the crudo? Oh, what that means is there a bowl of soup? Because I'm hungover. That's what I meant. Look at this. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? How many are so blessed to know what he's done for you? Come on, give God a shout of praise. Thank you, God. Thank you what you've done in my life. Thank you what you're doing in my life. Come on, this has got to be continual, saints of God. Every morning he wakes you up. We are walking up to new mercies, new grace, new day. Oh, yes, the enemy's there too, but God is greater. Can I get amen? And also he wants to do this. He wants to do this in our life is to bring glory to God. How many of you can honestly say that you're doing your best to bring glory to God? That's right. Here's the key. As we lived out changed lives, our salvation brings honor to him. Our salvation brings honor to him. Why? Because no other being could deliver us but him. And so we're bringing honor and praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now look at this. Let me show you this. Also, he did salvation for us for this purpose, to do his work on the earth. How many believe that God has the master plan for your life? Huh? Does he have the master plan for your life? Oh, yes, yes, he does. It's a greater plan. It's a better plan. You see, here's the key, though, saints. God accomplishes his will through obedient believers. That's the key. Obedient believers. And listen, it's not living a perfect life because we never will. It's learning to walk in obedience. And here's what I love about God, because I know every one of us are gonna stumble every now and then in our walk. If it hasn't happened, hold on. Hold on. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Can I get amen? The Bible says we're all equal at the cross. Okay, so we're every now and then we will stumble. But guess what? We have an advocate now. You know what an advocate means? An attorney. Hallelujah. So this is how awesome God is. He takes off his robe. He steps down from his throne. And then he says, step behind me. Oh, And then he looks at the Father and says, Father, I have washed them in my blood. I need you to see this through spiritual lenses, that when God looks down on this earth as a child of God, guess what? He doesn't see your sin. Guess what he sees? He sees the blood. The blood. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the Lamb. Amen. I'm glad I'm not a worship singer up here. I will chew it all up. But saints of God, it's to do his work. Now, look at this. Look at this right up here. I need to ask this question. How did Jesus set an example for us? Remember, he was here for 3.5 years. And he ministered. He ministered. You see, saints of God, our Savior came to earth with one purpose in mind. And guess what? To serve us. To serve you and I. Oh, that's right. He came to serve. He didn't come to rule and reign. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He came to take on what we all deserve, the wrath of God. But look what he said in the Word of God right up here. Look at this in Luke. Look at what he says. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Yes. You know, I think I heard Sister Tammy up here testify that when she opens up her cabinets, things fall out. Well, praise God, praise God. I grew up with 11 brothers and sisters, my mom and dad, and we would open up our cupboards and we were hoping a roach didn't fall out. Oh, come on. I'm just telling like it is. But Jesus, look what Jesus, he fed the multitudes. He fed the multitudes. How many are so blessed to know that? How many are so blessed to know that since birth, he has nurtured us? Did you know that you were chosen before the foundation of the world? Did you know that you are his election? He elected us before the foundation of the world, and he has chosen you. And because he has chosen you and he has elected you, guess what? It's his job to continue to provide for you. Man, you see, saints, he saw their hunger, and he miraculously provided for them several times. Several times. It's found in the Word of God. Let's go here to the Word of God. Look at this. In Matthew 14, 19, look at this. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took 5 loaves and 2 fish. Man, I'm telling you, that must have been a great fish sandwich. Better than Rubio's tacos. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. Look at this. And they were just passing on the blessings. This is a lens moment. We are to pass on the blessings, hallelujah, to other people. Can I get an amen? Amen. We got to let people know how good God is. Yes. Yes. If they passed on the blessings, so can we. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 20 here. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and remained. Look at this. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So there was a multitude. He did it on 2 different occasions. Why did he do that? I've asked, why did God do that? Because they came from surrounding regions. Many of them walked barefooted. 25, 30 miles, 50 miles. And when they finally got there, they were hungry. This lets me know, when he found you and I, we were hungry too. We were hungry. And when he saved us, he fed us. He filled us with his spirit. And then he started feeding us the word of God. Hallelujah. For these people, he took care of their natural so that he can bring the spiritual to them. Can I get amen? And so as we discover how good he is, another attribute was this. Look at this. He healed the sick. He healed the sick. You see, those of you that are going through right now with physical ailments, it's not a coincidence that you're here today. Because you need to hear how good he is. That he is the great I am. That he is the healer. Hallelujah. And that Jesus still heals today. Can I get amen? Oh, yes, he can. Oh, that's right. That's right. And man, I'm telling you, if you give God just a little sliver of your faith, he will move that mountain for you. The little seed we talked about, a mustard seed, smaller than a pulga, smaller than a flea. And yet that little seed planted in the ground will grow into a big tree. That little tiny seed. That lets you know that there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. Look, how many remember the story of Bartimaeus? When we went to Israel, going down to the Dead Sea, you see Jericho to the left before you get down to the Dead Sea. And that place is still there. And that's where the story of Bartimaeus was written about. And it's for our learning and understanding and believing for today. And it's found in the book of Mark. Let's go to the book of Mark. Look at this. Now, they came to Jericho. This is an entourage that was with Jesus walked from town to town. And he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Look at this. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. He was just a beggar. Oh, come on. You've pulled up off the freeway and there's someone right there with their hand out. No different. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. There are still people that beg, whether for the right reason or the wrong reason, but they're still begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Man, God gave this guy revelation. Have mercy on me. And so look what God dealt. Look how God dealt with him. In verse 48, when many warned him to be quiet, they said, you know, I'm going to say that maybe it was Peter, but a lot of the apostles didn't have the wisdom of God. Remember when the children ran to Jesus, "Get away, shoo, shoo, shoo." And Jesus had to tell them, "Hey, that's how the kingdom of God is." He said, "Hinder not the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." And so here's this beggar, and they're going, "Shh, shh, 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 get away." So Jesus stood up and still commanded him to be called. So Jesus had to intervene. Call that beggar over here. Look at this. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Praise God. You know, just moments ago, you all came to Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen. You didn't come to pastor, you didn't come to the elders here. You came to Jesus. Hallelujah. We're just vessels. Broken vessels. We're all Humpty Dumpties in the home that God has put together. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Notice, he didn't say, well, listen, I want you to say 560 Hail Marys. Did he say that? I want you to run around Sweetwater's football field 8 laps and then come back and see me. No, he didn't say none of that, did he? He said, your faith has made you well. Is that what it says up here? And immediately he received his sight, and he also followed Jesus on the road. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on. This is a hallelujah moment. Hallelujah. And so as we discover Jesus in a more intimate way, we just don't look at it, I'm heaven bound now, as I alluded to earlier. One of the most, I'm going to say, miraculous things that he's done for you and I is this right up here. He forgave sins. He forgave sins. Listen, it's so easy for you and I to find someone in sin. And maybe we can even call out the cause of it, and we're ready to point it out. But I'm reminded what Jesus said to all the accusers that found the woman that was caught in an act of adultery. Let's look at this right here. Let's look at this. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, what happened here in this scene? I believe it was a big setup. I believe these men set this woman up so that they could bring him to Jesus to see if he was going to follow the law of Moses. Because if you were caught in the act of adultery back then, they would take you to a real rock concert. And it wouldn't be a concert where you got stoned and you got lit up. It was a real rock concert where they took up big boulders and then they would crush your skull and put you out of your misery. Look what Jesus went on to say. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? What he said earlier, he says, because they drug her out of her room, they threw her at the feet of Jesus, and they all had these big boulders. And they were, listen, they were just ready for Jesus to say, have at her. And they wanted to pounce her. But Jesus said this, which is mind-blowing to us even today. He that has no sin, cast the first stone. How many of our brothers and sisters that we know have fallen into sin, and we do this to them, and then yet there's three fingers looking right back at us? Can I get an amen? You better be slow on that roll. Why? Because we still live in this sinful body. Can I get an amen? And we better be careful in how we judge one another. We have to be gracious. We have to be tender-hearted. Why? Because God was tender with you. Can I get an amen? Look at this. She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you, and go and sin no more. And then he went on to say this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Aren't you so blessed to know that? So as we draw closer, as we discover the benefits and how good God is, we see another miraculous feat that he has done. Something beyond you and I cannot do. And that is this: he raised the dead. He raised the dead. How many of you, can I ask this question? How many of you have loved ones already passed away? Let me just say this. As believers, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. God is going to raise them up, just like he's going to raise us up as we stand here on this earth. Can I get an amen? And look at this. It's found right here in the Word of God. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Jesus was 2 days away from Bethany. And they cried out, God, God, Lazarus is dying. He purposely waited 2 days to make sure that Lazarus was dead. And so by the time he got there, he was already in the tomb for 4 days. On the fourth day, skin worms set in. As the body starts to decay, God already developed these worms to come out of nowhere to start eating away the decayed body. So it ends up just in bones. He had to make sure that Lazarus was dead. And look, he comes and says, where have you laid him? He said, but Lord, he's in the tomb. But Lord, if we open the tomb, he stinketh by now. You see, Martha and Mary, they came running to him. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never die. Hallelujah. And he that believes in me, I will raise up. Hallelujah. And save him on that last day. Thank you, God. And so look what it is. He goes on to say, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. When I read loose him, you know what that reminded me? That God wants to loose us from religion. Because religion says, I don't think so. I think all this stuff died out with the apostles. I'm here to let you know that God is still healing today. Can I get amen? Amen. God is still he's still healing today. And look at this. As we come in for a close, he comforted his followers. How many believe he's comforted us? Oh, that's right. Look what he wrote here in John 14, 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. How many are so blessed to know that he has a mansion for you? And look what else he did. Look at this right up here. It says, he assured them when they were confused. He had to go to the cross. And they were thinking, man, oh my gosh, all our hopes and dashes are now out the window. But they were confused at that moment. But God had to tell him. He had to tell him this. Look at this. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, and you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I need you to catch that, because when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Feast of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, God poured out his Spirit, and we're here today because Jesus is now living inside us. Can I get an amen? And he did not leave us orphans. Can I get an amen? He's the great comforter. He is the great I am. He is with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's right. My friends, he came. He saved those who were lost. How many of you can honestly say before you gave your heart to Christ, you was lost without a cause? I like to say it like this. If Brother G was here, I was toe up from the flow up. Oh, come on. That's right. He came to do the miraculous. He came to resurrect our dead souls. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Listen, one of the things that still plagues mankind, how many believe that there's still demon spirits? Oh, yeah. They're not just in the movies you watch, and I hope that you get that junk out of your house because you're bringing a spirit in. Can I get an amen? You watching these horror movies? And the boogeyman will really show up in your room. And he won't say boo. Oh, no. He will torment you. That's his job, is to torment. Can I get amen? That's right. Look at this quick story. Look at this. Found in Mark. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. This was a man on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. We've been there. We know where that is. And our tour guide would say, that's the mountain of where the demoniac was. And when he saw him, Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshiped him. Oh, look at this. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? The demons know who Jesus is. You catch that? This man that was cutting himself in the mouth, he didn't know him from day one, but when Jesus came into his presence, the devil knew who he was. Look at this. I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Jesus wasn't going to torment him. Look what it says. And he said, come out of that man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Listen, I've spoke to many pastor leaders, elders, and one of the things that torments people today is when they start watching pornography, demons come in and they start tormenting individuals, and then they start lusting what they're seeing, and it drives them mad. It drives them to the brink of destruction. They have no more common sense. They have no more conviction. And this man was no different. God had to deal with this demon face on. And those demons are here now stronger than ever. Why? Because they know that Jesus is soon to come. So the Bible says the dark is going to get darker and the light should be lighter. That's us. Can I get amen? Amen? And so let's go back to this. Look at this. And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for there are many. He also begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. He goes, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. Look at this in verse 12. So all the demons begged him. There was more. There was all kinds of demons in that one man. They're real saints of God. It wouldn't be in the Word of God if these things weren't real. They're still here today. Why do we see mass murders and shootings? Because demons roll up in their heart and tell them, go ahead, end your life. Why? Because the devil doesn't honor life. It wants to pervert what God has made holy. So remember this, God is holy and the devil is darkness and he's corrupt. And he wants to pervert everything that God has made holy and pure. Can I get amen in the house? Is this too much for us, or should I just call, pray and we leave and have cake? Let me finish this. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we only get one Sunday.
That's right.
We're not here tomorrow. We're not here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're here Sunday. Just imagine the people that we just read, how they walked 50 miles just to get to hear God's word. We're in the luxury of an AC building here. Step outside and see if you want to sit out there. Look at this. So, and once Jesus gave them permission, the unclean spirits went out and entered the pigs, the swine. And there were about 2,000. 2,000 demons were in this one man, tormenting him. A legion is thousands. And they're still real today.
Yes, they are.
Come on. Look at this. And he earnestly sent them out. Where are we at? Okay, yeah. Then at once Jesus gave them permission. The unclean spirits went out and entered the swine where there were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Meaning when the demons went into those pigs, all they wanted to do was die. Because animals don't have a soul. And they just were tormented to death, and they wanted just to end their life now. Look at this. So those who, look at this, fed the swine, and they told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legions sitting and clothed in his right mind. What did it say, and they were afraid? Because for years, all they saw that man was a crazy madman. I remember when I got saved and God presented me back to my family. They were like, huh? And then and now he's preaching hellfire and heaven. They were afraid of me. Sometimes people get afraid of what God has done because they don't understand it. They can't comprehend what God has just done. You know why? Because we're taught that miracles don't happen today no more. That God doesn't save. That God doesn't heal. But we read right now that he was sitting and clothed in his right mind right next to Jesus. Come on. Come on. This man was, he was cutting himself. He was screaming in the mountains day and night, being tormented. And one of the things that we find out as we discover more about Jesus is this. He was patient with those who didn't understand. How many remember Nicodemus? Listen, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they hated Jesus. They were the religious folks. They were the humba-da-humba-da, Crisco-Nabisco kind. No, they were. They were religious. They had no relationship with God. They didn't. And yet, Nicodemus, who saw the miracles, this is a religious man now, he snuck out at night. I call him Nick at night. He snuck out at night to go see Jesus. Why? You know why? Because he didn't want his peers to see him talking to Jesus because he was convinced that this is the Messiah. And look what God's word says right up here. Jesus answered when he came and sat with him because he came thinking that he was going to have a cup of tea with Jesus and then question him. Jesus already knew his heart. Jesus already read his thoughts and motives. And look what Jesus said. Then Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Isn't that a tough question? My lights, oh yeah, thank you. Look at verse 5. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then he went on to say, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. You see, he cut right through religion. Because the religion is a bunch of do's and don'ts. Oh, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and then we have to see if you will be approved with our organization. It's not about that. It's about a heart that repents and cries out to God and says, God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. And then God comes in like a rushing mighty wind, and he saves us. He saves us. He heals us. Come on. That's right. That's right. Because Jesus ultimately came. Look at this. He gave them peace when they were worried. How many of you have been worried before? Huh? Well, real quickly, look at this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Aren't you so blessed?
Amen.
Huh? How many are so blessed to know that you don't have to worry?
Hallelujah.
You don't have to worry.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Now, because he saved us, this is our commission. I shared with the prayer team before we came out. And I always call Pastor Rod. And he quoted this scripture that I had already written down. Let me go there right now. And then we'll close. Look at this. So he came to save us. Amen. Here's the scripture. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Look at this. And these signs shall follow them who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Praise God. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Two things I want to hit on right here, and we'll close. It's not about thinking you could go home and drink Clorox and you won't get hurt. It's not saying that. It's not saying that. Because if you do a Hebrew and also a Greek study, because we don't have time to go into that, what that means, that if they drink anything deadly, that means the religions of the world, because they're deadly. And he doesn't want you to drink in false doctrine, false teaching, because people are susceptible to that. Oh, that sounds good over there. I'm going over there. Oh, that sounds good over there. I'm going over there. There's a big movement right now and across our nation. It's called replacement theology. They have forsaken Israel and believe that Israel has no place no more in prophetic end times. That is a lie from the pit. God's not done with Israel. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He's not done with them. And they don't believe in the rapture of the church. They're all millennials. You know what all millennials is? They believe things are just going to get better and better, and then Jesus will come. No, the Bible tells us things are going to get darker and darker and darker. Can I get amen? There's going to be chaos in the world. There's going to be wars and rumors of war. Right now, we're in birth pains.
Yes, we are.
And we're about ready to enter into the tribulation. Come on. When's the last time you saw a commercial on nuclear bombs being set off? Come on, we're living in these times. We're living in the times. Can I get an amen? So my friends, I'm here to let you know that God wants us to truly, truly discover His great purpose for our life. How many believe that? How many believe that? Can you believe that with a sincere heart?
Yes.
Can you believe that God wants to do the miraculous in our life? And so because we prayed already, I want to close this out in prayer. And is there a little song that you guys want to sing or anything? Come on up. Sister Kevin, come on up. Brother Andre, come on up. Anything soft, and I'm going to close out in prayer. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to pray for you earlier. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. How many believe we needed that? We needed to hear and have a touch from God. And guess what? For some of you, He has just started with you. He wants to show you more and more of His glory. Praise God. And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. And I'm praying right now for those who have logged in with Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you've logged in for the first time, second time, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm gonna ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would receive Jesus by faith. And so bow your heart and your head with me. Maybe those that are here right now that never received Christ, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is He worthy? Come on, is Jesus worthy? Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.